I'll be reading from Matthew 28:18 through 20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age."
It's my pleasure this morning to talk to you about one of the newest mission efforts that this congregation is engaged in. It's an organization called Right Steps. Some of you have heard of it, some of you haven't. And so in the time allotted to me, I'm going to try to give you an overview of the work that this group does. The little brother of our Lord, James, said, "Pure and undefiled religion before the Father is this, to visit the widows and orphans in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." Visiting the widows and orphans is at the very heart of what Right Steps does. Next slide, please. This is Chi Ekwunye. Chi was a young girl who grew up during the days of the Civil War in Nigeria. And she saw firsthand what homelessness and suffering and being without can do. She was 8 years old when she received her first pair of shoes. And these were treasures for her. They weren't Air Jordans. They weren't fancy. They were just a simple pair of sandals, which is why you see the sandals in the logo that you just saw. She took them to school, and she shared them with all of her friends. She let all of her friends at school wear her sandals. And that day, a spirit of sharing, a spirit of caring, and a spirit of taking care of her people was planted deep within the soul of Chi Ekwunye. Chi completed school in Nigeria. She was the daughter of an itinerant preacher. She finished university. And then in 1988, she found herself being brought to Atlanta to a brutal, abusive husband. She was abused and ultimately abandoned. She had to leave for fear of her life with virtually only the clothes on her back. She did the only thing she knew to do. She went to the Yellow Pages. Some of you in this electronic generation don't even know what Yellow Pages were. But it was this big book, okay? It was kind of our generation's version of Google. And so she went to the listings for the Churches of Christ because that was the fellowship within which she had grown. And she started down the list in the Yellow Pages. And when she reached the listing for the Chestnut Drive Church of Christ, someone answered. And she explained her plight, that she needed someplace to stay. She had nothing, literally nothing, but the clothes on her back. And the preacher said, "Well, I don't know if I can do anything, but there's this couple that I think can help you. They're on vacation. They've got a timeshare down in Florida. They'll be back at the end of the week. So let's find you something between now and then, and I think they may be able to help you." That couple was my parents. And she came and became a part of our family in 1988. She is my sister in faith and in fact. And she lived with us over the next 10 or so years. Now, she got her master's degree at Georgia Tech, went back to Nigeria for a brief period of time, and then realized that if she was going to do the work that was really needed in her country, she would have to have a doctorate. And so she came back, went to the University of Georgia, some of you may have heard of it, and received her doctorate in child studies there. During her last year or so, she came up to my dad and she said, "You're going to be the president of my board of directors." And he said, "Board of directors of what?" And she said, "We're going to do an organization that's going to help us take care of women and children." And so from that, Right Steps, which is a nonprofit based here in the Atlanta area, was born. She went back to Nigeria in 1998 and the ministries of Right Steps were founded. If I can have the next slide, please. These are the things that have come to be over the years. I'm going to stay on this slide for a couple of minutes and talk about a few of the supporting ministries before we get to what I consider the three most significant. You'll see there the Henry Ferrer Medical Clinic. As we take children into Susanna Homes, which is the orphanage, all of them receive intense medical screenings, especially screenings for HIV/AIDS. Nigeria is the worst country in the world about preventing mother-to-child HIV transmission. The HIV is huge and a huge epidemic within the Nigerian population. So we have this clinic. The clinic also treats the needs of the children at the home. They go there for routine medical care, and then a couple of times a month, we have a doctor from the Nigerian Christian Hospital, which comes and examines the kids, takes care of any illnesses that are there, and that kind of thing. One of our future projects is the one at the bottom, the prenatal clinic, where we are going to help to address one of the things that leads in the great postmortal death, postnatal death, the lack of prenatal care and things like that that I'm going to talk about in just a minute. Another thing that's up here is Auntie Kay's Food Pantry. Kay Price is a registered nurse from Lexington, Kentucky, who goes to Nigeria a couple of times a year. And during those visits, she makes sure that all of the vitamins and medications that we have in the clinic are up to date and potent and all of that kind of thing. She takes care of some routine medical issues there, makes sure that we have all the supplies. On one of her visits, she realized that a lot of the widows in our congregation there do not have the basic food that they need. So she began to get people to donate food or donate money so that we could buy food in bulk. And once a month, a large bag of groceries is given to each of these widows. And then during the month, kids from the home go out and visit the widows to make sure that they have the things that they need. This is done at a cost of about $450 a month, which is paid for through donations of American Christians. On-site agriculture is one of the things that we are doing to try to help Right Steps be self-sufficient. We have chickens and goats and pigs and cows. We have 200 chickens. She counts them, you know. And these, of course, we take the eggs, feed the eggs to the kids, feed some chickens to the kids. And then the surplus we take into the marketplace. The pigs are a substantial source of protein and fat in the diet for the kids. And then we sell some of them as well. The cows are used so that we can have milk for the babies and things like that. We also have agriculture products. Our biggest product is palm oil. We have hundreds of palm trees on our 26-acre compound. And these are crushed for the oil. The palm coconuts are Nigerian equivalent of what the Native Americans used to do with the buffalo. Not a thing of it goes to waste. The husks are ground and fed to the pigs, or they're put into fodder, or any number of things. The seeds are even crushed for additional oil, and then the husks come back to feed. We sell the oil in the marketplace and things like that. So those are some of the ancillary things that go on. Now, if you'll go to the next slide, Susanna Homes is an orphanage. It's estimated there are 12 million orphans in Nigeria. These come about as a result of the fact that Nigeria has one of the highest incidents of maternal death during childbearing. It's estimated that annually 53,000 women die as a result of prenatal complications or during childbirth, or postpartum complications. 53,000. A couple of years ago, there were 70,000 that died. Obviously, this creates a great need or this creates a large number of orphans. It's also estimated that 250,000 infants die in childbirth annually. 10% of the worldwide maternal deaths, you take all the countries in the world where there is maternity fatality or maternal fatalities, 10% of those occur in the country of Nigeria. So the need is great. So with that, Susanna Homes was found. Next slide, please. Oh, wait, go back. Those are the kids. If you ever get a chance to visit Susanna Homes, this is how you'll be greeted. The children will come out and meet you at the front gate, and they will sing your way into the home. Okay, the next slide. This is our 26-acre compound. The area that is just across the road there is the area that we have purchased to set aside for our prenatal clinic. We have fields, we have farms, we have schools, we have everything in this 26-acre compound. But let's go to what it's all about. Next slide, please. This is a little fella that came to us in January. His mother had died during childbirth. This is really pretty neat compared to the way we get many of our children. Sometimes they are literally left on our doorstep, still in the afterbirth. Some of them don't survive. We lose children. They die because of the state that they're in, the physical state that they're in, by the time they get to us. But we take these kids in, and right now we've got 90 kids, 90 dependents. We also take care of some disabled elderly people. Next slide. But we take care of them up in the top left there. There's our nursery. We have the Blackwell House, which was named in honor of my dad. I had to put that up there. I'm sorry. I'm really proud of the work that my dad started. I'm also very honored at the fact that when Dad passed away in 2010, the board of directors came to me and asked me to take his place on the board so that I could continue his legacy. The Blackwell House is where some of the kids live. This one in the lower left is where our young girls live. On the lower right, these were most of our kids at the time that picture was taken. And you can see a continuing Snellville connection. On the back row, you see a follically challenged head sticking up. That is Mike Underwood, father of our Martin Underwood. I went blank. Getting old's horrible. But Chestnut Drive has been involved in the Right Steps and Susanna Homes from the beginning. Next slide, please. The next big thing that we do is we needed to educate these kids. Right now, we also realized that with only 50 to 100 children in our orphanage, we would not be able to get state certification for our education program. So we began busing in kids from the neighboring villages. Right now, we have 290 students in Right Steps Christian School. Some of them live so far out that we board them, but that's our elementary and special needs area on the left. There they are out on the playground playing. Next slide, please. That is our boarding house and our big playground there. Next, please. There was not a congregation of the Churches of Christ close enough for us to haul all of the kids to every week. So the Susanna Homes Church of Christ was started in 1998. And this morning, earlier, because of the time changes, approximately 250 of our brothers and sisters met and did exactly what we're doing here. They observed the Lord's Supper. They sang praises to God. They heard a portion of the Word. And this work has been instrumental in planting at least three other congregations. Some of them struggle because keeping preachers for these congregations is an ongoing struggle. But we continue to plant churches throughout the Southwest Nigeria. Next slide, please. There are our brothers and sisters worshiping. Next. And on the bottom left, this is the annual ladies lectureship, which just completed. We had 1,000 women from all over Nigeria. Some of these folks walk for days, regardless of the weather, in the monsoons, if it's going on, to get to Susanna Homes for the annual ladies lectureship. It's a 3-day conference. In 2014, we added the Young Girls Conference so that we could begin to train and do what Paul told Timothy, to have the older women instruct the younger women. And this coincides with that. We also have a little preacher's conference coincidental with that. So this is part of the spiritual outreach that we do in the country of Nigeria. Next, please. Follow the money, they say. Well, this is our income. As you can see, the largest portion of that is the monthly budgets from the United States. This is individual and large gifts. This is congregational gifts, which Snellville is now participating in. Thank you. The individual gifts range from one-time gifts. Many people do, like Kathy and I do, and we donate $50 a month, $600 a year. And that $600 will pay the full support for food, clothing, and housing for a child in our orphanage for a year. $50 a month. We also have scholarships for the kids. The guests come to see us, and they're so touched with what we do that they donate it. The food pantry, these are the $450 a month donations. And we also get gifts from stateside Christians for us to take care of the birthdays. We have projects and miscellaneous things. Our buses wear out. It could be because we put 200 kids on a 50-passenger bus, you know, but our buses wear out, and so we're always having to renew our vehicles. But the school fees and the agricultural sales are the things that we are growing in order. Our goal is for the home to be completely self-sufficient. This year, for the first time, we are not having to pay for the kids who are in the orphanage to go to school. The fees and the other money that we have raised are now sufficient to take care of the educational needs of our children. So this, I wanted to show you this. We're very diligent about the fact that over 95% of every dollar raised goes straight to this work. We have one part-time U.S. employee, and the rest are all Nigerian employees that work at the home. So, next slide. We're making a difference. We're taking the ones that come to us at our doorstep and turning them into the smiling. Look at those eyes. Look at the joy in those eyes. They have a home. And so all we can say to this congregation for your support and your encouragement is thank you.
I want to say thank you as well. I went to Chestnut Drive while she was there, served under Jan's dad, Jan Blackwell, as I was a deacon and he was the elder over me. A great man, and that is a great mission work. But I am going to talk to you about Mission Para Cristo. This is in Nicaragua. This is the mission effort that Colette is a part of. This is her third year being a part of that. Matthew 28, verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and I will be with you until the very end of the age." That's the motto of Mission Para Cristo. It's in Jinotega, Nicaragua. This is the map. You can go to the next slide. This is a map. It's just below Honduras, just above Costa Rica. You can keep going. Go ahead. It was established in 1997 by Benny and Donna Baker. They've been running it. Well, this will be the 19th year. It started with one preacher and one doctor. Okay, now they have 40 full-time Nicaraguans, several sponsored Americans there that help coordinate and run the events. This is their goal, to share Jesus as we serve the people in Nicaragua so that all can come to know the Lord. That's their goal. And here's the areas of service. I'll just go through these very quickly. Just run them off. Medical, children, sustainable living, prisons, and river communities. Okay, the first is medical. In the medical part of this, there's several aspects to the medical. Keep going. Yeah, okay. Right now, they serve over 40,000 people a year. Next to the government of Nicaragua, they're the second biggest medical provider in the country. They do several medical brigades, over 10. They average about one a month. They serve dental, vision, pharmacy, and also a Casa Materna. That is it's a hospital for women that are about to have children. They live miles away. They come there and wait for the last couple of weeks of their pregnancy so that they can be close to a hospital before they give birth. Colette's a part of almost every one of these. Here's some pictures of the medical teams. Keep going. And this is the school. This is the children. And again, They have 32 schools serving over 3,000 children. They are the second largest provider of education in the country of Nicaragua. Here's some of them in a classroom, and then you should go to one of their graduations. It's something to behold. Okay. This is SMILES. Keep going. This is a program where if they don't have presents or whatever for Christmas, this is what they provide. They provide little shoe boxes. We can do that. There are churches that provide little shoe boxes. You can keep going. That provide little shoe boxes for each one of these children for Christmas. Keep going. All right, this is teens. Now, this is one of the areas that Colette has developed. She works with the teenagers even this last year. You can click it a couple times. Go ahead. She plans and organizes all the teen activities. They had their first teen retreat last year as a group of teenagers, and Colette was instrumental in being a part of that. Keep going. Okay, One Child Matters. This is where they have an after-school program saying that every child matters. We're not going to let any slip through the cracks. They study with them and go over their schoolwork after school is over. Here's some other pictures of them. One with a group of girls doing One Child Matters. Hijos del Rey. This is the children's Bible study. Hijos del Rey says it means children of the king. Colette started this. Actually, Suzette and I went, and Bridget went down to visit Colette summer before last. She started this Bible study down there. They were hoping to have 75. The first day, I think they had 300 show up to this. This is one of Colette's favorite parts of the mission work. Okay. Hope for Life and the Gardens and Sustainable Living. They are teaching the residents of Nicaragua, how to plant crops that will grow. They're teaching them how to multiply their numbers of chickens, of pigs, of cattle, whatever they raise. And they've got a great system of doing this. But I went out with Hope for Life one day, summer before last. We went to four homes, and they put these aqua filters in here. The water is just terrible, filled with all kinds of bacteria. But they put three or four of these in one day in four homes. And their goal is to have several hundred of them in by the end of this summer. Continue. They're also in the prison systems. You can keep going. Okay. In the prison systems, they provide Bible studies. You can keep going. A couple more clicks. They provide Bible studies and Bibles to them. They also study with the House of Arrested Adolescents, so that they work with the teenagers that have been incarcerated there. Continue. And then the river communities. There are some places where they have to drive 4 hours and then take a boat for 10 hours to serve five communities. Okay, they're so isolated, it's hard to get to them. They provide a holistic approach for this. It's not just spiritual, but it's also medical and physical. They provide all the places for this. And then here's Colette's role. She, to quote her mom, she blossoms there, okay? She has become fluent. She doesn't call herself fluent, but she serves as an interpreter for a lot of the groups that come down there. But she's involved in almost every mission that goes down there. She's involved. She says, I'm the one that fills the gaps. She lives at the mission. She is the one person that lives at the mission, so she's there every day. She's the one that's making contacts with the community and reaching people in ways that they haven't been reaching so far. She's got a lot to do, and every time she finds a need, just like we did last year when we sent her, 200 pairs of shoes? Over 100 pairs of shoes we sent down there. When she sees a need, she'll create something. And I'm not going to steal her thunder. She will be here next month. I think it's on the 10th or 17th. Or anyway, she's going to work out a time. She's going to come and do a report and tell you what all she does. I'll just tell you, I finally got Suzette down there summer before last. And she visited Suzette, or Colette. They said, what are you going to do? Are you going on a out with one of the grades? She goes, no, I'm shadowing Colette today. They said, well, you better have your running shoes on, because that's what she does. She makes a great impact. She has a lot of impact on everybody there. Again, I'm not going to steal all of her thunder, but Suzette called my mom from Nicaragua and said, "Mom, they just love her down here." My mom said, "I was afraid of that." So she is on her third year down there. I want to especially thank the elders and this congregation. They're supporting Colette this year in the mission. It is a wonderful mission that they're on, and they do great things. And I appreciate the opportunity to tell you about it for just a few minutes this morning. Thank you.
Hello, this is Phil Waldron with Mission Upreach, talking with you from Santa Rosa de Copan. And we want to thank you once again for your support and helping us plant churches in Western Honduras. We have a lot of exciting things going on. One of the most exciting things is a new project that we have, Project Moses, where we have 30 to 50 boys living on a working farm. And they work during the day, go to school at night, and they train in our Bible school on the weekend. And we believe all of those boys will one day be church planters in the villages that they come from. So we thank you for your support. We ask you to come down on a brigade or anytime you can and see for yourself what your money is doing in God's kingdom. God bless you.
Good morning. I can't tell you how nice it is to be up here and seeing you guys again. It's great to see friends, the faces of friends and family and folks that we dearly love. And we've spent 2.5 months so far in Santa Rosa, and it's been exciting and exhausting, but we're glad to be there, even though our hearts are still here. I'm a little nervous this morning, and people keep saying, "You know, it's just like riding a bike." It's not like riding a bike. Did you get butterflies every time you got on the bike? I mean, didn't you look forward to getting on your bike? So it's not like riding a bike, but I'll be all right. I'm not here this morning to talk about our experience. If you want to, you can look us up afterwards, and we'll give you a little bit of a scoop of our life in Honduras. But the elders wanted me to speak to you about Mission Upreach, and I don't want to repeat what you already know. Mission Upreach has been something that's been presented to you many times over the last, I'd say, 3 or 4 years. And in all honesty, one of the challenges that you have as a mission organization is, you know, usually you hear once or twice a year, and then it just kind of goes off, and they keep working, but we kind of, I know I do, I kind of forget about them. You know, I know they're there, but they just kind of drift off. So one of their challenges is they function wholly off of the charity, the kind giving of other people, and so their challenge is how to keep that fresh and how to keep you excited about it, so that's part of what I'm here to do as well. It's been very eye-opening to be on the other side of a work, to be honest with you. For us, after you hear about it, it just kind of stops. But when you're on the other side, it never stops. It's just like here. You're living your life. You're living the mission work, and Cheryl's involved in it 100%. I'm doing my job from there, but we're involved in the church down there, and we constantly see what's going on. So it's encouraging. but as you know, Mission Upreach is a church planting organization, and in Western Honduras, and their philosophy and their belief, and this is on their website, it says, and I love this statement, I don't think you could say it any better for what our mission is. They say, "We firmly believe that the church is God's instrument for transforming society. It is the ultimate solution to abuse, poverty, oppression, and the need for lasting hope in this world. At Mission Upreach, we are focused on planting what we call transformational churches. We don't just want to be able to put a sign on a building that says Church of Christ. We want to start a revival in each community by helping people know Jesus as their Lord and know of his transforming power. Our prayer is that over the next 20 years, we will see hundreds or even thousands of independent churches united in a grassroots movement that transforms the society here. And one thing Phil says a lot lately, I've heard him mention this several times, he said, we totally hope and expect in about 20 years that there'll be this modern day American, like the American Restoration Movement, that there'll be a modern day restoration movement going on in Honduras, and people are going to go, this just popped up out of nowhere. And we'll know it didn't pop up out of nowhere. It popped up because of the efforts of Christians that are working and sharing the gospel and building leadership abilities in the members of the churches there. To that end, Mission Upreach has church planting teams to accomplish their mission. They conduct evangelism campaigns. They train Christians to be leaders in their congregations through their CREO and their CRESCO programs. And these teams are supported by brigades that are sent by churches and groups, and they conduct VBS campaigns. They conduct, they construct buildings and do, you know, construction projects. And they also serve the communities through medical and eyeglass brigades. And so those are some of the physical needs works that they're involved in. And as you can imagine, if you've got a busload of gringos coming into a community, and they're serving, and the bus has, you know, Mission Upreach, a work of the Churches of Christ, and then that same bus or that same logo shows up a couple of weeks or a month or two later and starts conducting a campaign, do you think that's an effective way to open up the hearts of these people? It very much is, and they're finding that. And then the last program that they have is the DESEO program, and y'all have heard about that, but they're in 9 schools right now. They're reaching over 1,200 children. And they teach these children spiritual principles, and they also teach them needed values and those kinds of things that they just don't get. And so those are works that you're aware of. But I wanted to tell you about 2 new things that are going on. And one of them you saw in the video. There's a new home, and I think Phil may have spoke about this last time he was here, but it's called Project Moses. And yes, we named it after Moses, you know, Moises Matos, because they call it Proyecto Moises. No, it's not. It's based on the idea that Moses, that God trained Moses and sent him in to lead his people out and lead them to a better understanding of him. And that's what the desire of Project Moses is to teach these young men. Well, let me tell you what Project Moses is quickly. It's a boys' home. And it is a boys' home that educates through attending school these boys, and it also teaches them a trade. It's a working farm. You saw some of the videos. The video starts off in the beginning with a view over the tilapia farms, and since they've gone there, they've added like 5 more tilapia farms. And these boys work the farms, and they're growing coffee, they're raising tilapia, they have cows, they have sheep, they have chickens, and they're learning a trade while they're in the school. And this was started by another gentleman many years ago, not as a spiritual endeavor, but just as a service endeavor, and with the idea that you train young men to be leaders and send them back to their villages and give those villages men that have a desire to lead, because they have a vacuum in their communities. And this man approached Phil about taking it over because he didn't have the time and the effort to do it anymore. So, you know, Phil kind of mentioned that this is, if we do this, there's going to be a spiritual emphasis and we'll continue this work. And that was completely fine. So it was donated to Mission Upreach, and it's a huge area. And so as you can imagine, one of the things that these young men have to do is they have to do, but they bring them to church. The requirement now is they come to the Barrio Belen Church, which is where Cheryl and I are now members. And since we've been there, we've seen several of them obey the gospel and become followers of Jesus, which is very encouraging. And now some of those young men are teaching devotionals back at the boys' home at Project Moses. So it's being effective in that way. And right now there's 35 young men in there. Their desire, I don't have a number, but I think they feel like they can go over 100. 50. Okay, sorry. That's close. They can have up to 50 young men in that place. And they're going to find these young men and add them to this program over the next couple of years, hopefully. there's a lot of areas that can be helped there. The tilapia ponds, they're kind of learning how to do that. And they had a they had an expert from Auburn University come down and say, no, you can't do this. And they figured all these things out. And then this past week, I'm sorry, I shouldn't do this for Scott, because there was another Auburn group, and now he's going to get big-headed, but there was an Auburn Christian Student Union, and they came down and did some painting down there. And so there's a lot of effort that we can do to support that work and help them out. The other thing I want to quickly talk to you about is with the DeSeo program. One of the things that Mission Upreach and every other organization that we've talked about today has a problem with is keeping your attention, because we're in a fast-paced world. I mean, if you don't keep our attention for a few minutes, something else is going to grab our attention. And so they want to keep something, you know, engaged. And when you're running, for example, a children's home, like Jan said, you can adopt a child, and that's one of the ways that they can help fundraise. So Mission Upreach is trying to come up with some different ways and some effective ways, not just to fund their work, but also to give them an opportunity to pull more people into the work. So the idea now is they want the Snellville congregation to be basically a beta test for a new program that they want to do, where you sponsor a church or a group sponsors a DeSeo village. And DeSeo basically goes into a village, into one school, and they go in there once a week and teach. But what they want to do is they want to test with us owning that responsibility for one school. And they want to work with us to figure out how this best can work. And from the United States, with a relationship from the United States with a group, and then offer that as another way for other groups to work. So that's one of the things that they want to do. It's a material and a financial commitment. And just I stole a document that they have, just a couple of things that they mentioned on there. They said, what will you be expected to do? It says, visiting the school at any opportunity you have to serve, participating in any service activities that happen at the school with a brigade, VBS classes, medical clinics, upward basketball, et cetera, regularly sending cards and letters to the children, and communicating with the staff at the school and the parents to demonstrate that you're thinking of them and praying for them. Work with your sponsorship team. So we'll be working with a team on the Honduras side with developing a strategy that's unique to those schools, because not every school has the same needs. Some communities are going to have different needs based on some struggles and some things that they just don't have, and we'll have the capability of being able to help them address those needs. Supplying small gifts if Mission Upreach and everybody decides that it's appropriate, that we'll work on trying to get something there and bless their lives that way. And obviously praying for the school and just being the Christian example to that school. So for Snellville Church to do this, we need your support. We need your support both financially and individually, and to use your God-given talents and abilities to help them out. And sometimes I know that's kind of hard to say, what can I do? I mean, I'm sitting here, I'm too young, I'm too old, whatever. God has blessed you with a talent and an ability. And I guarantee you that if a 50-year-old man or a 50s-year-old man and his wife, who are an accountant and an IT guy, can move to Honduras, you can find something to do. I guarantee it. This past week, something that was kind of interesting, watching the group, there was two groups down. There was a group from Auburn that was down there, and then there was a group from the Southside Church of Christ in Fort Worth, Texas. And in that group, there was probably about 7 or 8 members of that team that were in their 70s. And they were having a great time, and they were working hard. They were doing a medical brigade, and a medical brigade, you know, a lot of what you do is you're just moving people around, and you're visiting with them as you're moving them around. So anybody can come down there. It's not as hard as you might think it is. It's a little different, but you can handle it. These are just some of the great efforts that are going on at Mission Upreach in Santa Rosa, and I want to tell you, I showed Phil what I was going to be saying, because I wanted to appropriately deliver something that was supportive and something that would be helpful to them. And he said, make sure that you let them know how appreciative we are to the Snellville congregation. We aren't just a name or another church that helps them out. We are one of their pillar supporters. And right now we're their biggest pillar supporter, and they're very appreciative of that. And I can assure you, being on that side of things, I think sometimes because you're not there, you don't see it, you're not sure how things really are going. And I can assure you, being down there, that the time and the money that this congregation spends supporting Mission Upreach is well worth it. It's changing the face of heaven, and we appreciate it. Thank you.
Is there really anything more important that we do than the kingdom business? It is eternal. Most everything else that we do will fade. It will not last. The things that have been discussed today will last forever. They are eternal. There's nothing more significant than a soul of another person, to be able to teach them the gospel, to love them, and to lead them, to introduce them to the Lord Jesus Christ, is the most important thing. There is nothing more important than that. Thank you for every presentation, all the good works. The idea of missions means sent. You are all missionaries. All of us are missionaries. If we are in Christ, we are saved to be sent. Some of us are going to the jail ministry. Some of us are going out into neighborhoods, and some of us are going to our jobs, but we are all missionaries, and we are lights and salt. We are the city set on a hill to the people around us. And as you leave here today, it's not that you are just supporting a missionary or a mission effort. You are a mission effort. This place here is a mission effort. I feel good this morning about all of the things that we're doing collectively as a congregation. Jesus prayed in John 17. He said, "In the same way, Lord, that you gave me a mission in this world, I give them a mission in this world." What he did in his physical body, we are doing in the spiritual body, that is his church. At the age of 12, Jesus knew exactly what his goal was in life, that he had to be about the Father's business. He knew exactly what he wanted to do and what he ought to be doing. I know that that you have listened, and you have listened well this morning, and as I thought, especially as we close this out and offer an invitation, is wouldn't it be sad that we would send someone to a faraway place to hear a gospel while people sat here and listened to these presentations and remain lost? The most important thing is that all of us know the invitation is for us, not just for those who are far away. Every one of us are sinners, some saved by the grace of God, some yet saved by the grace of God. We're going to sing in just a moment, "Sinners Jesus Will Receive." He wants to receive you this morning. Just like these in Honduras and every other place, he loves you. He wants you to be a part of his family. William James once said that the best use of life is to spend it for something that will outlast it. What I am talking about this morning will outlast everything. Everything will vanish except these things. These things are eternal. Will you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Will you confess him today? Will you repent of your sins and turn to him, give your life to him? Will you be baptized into Christ and raised to walk in a brand new life? He wants to receive you today. He wants to add you into his kingdom. You come while we stand and sing this song of encouragement.